Blog Talk Radio.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. Real Talk.
Hey, this is Robin Lord Taylor, and you're listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Hey, what's up? It's Logan Browning, and you're listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Real Talk.
Hey, I'm Gina Liu, and you're listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Hi, I'm Diane Franklin from Better Off Dead and Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventures. You're listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Real Talk.
Hey guys, it's Chrissy DePaul here, and you are listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Hi, this is Michael Jai White,
Byron Mann
from Black Dynamite.
And you're listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Hey, what's up? This is China Lane. You are listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio. So keep it locked, keep it hot, don't go anywhere.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Verduga, a.k.a. Justice Woman, and you're listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Hey, what's going on? It's your boy Dennis White here on Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio. Tune in tonight and get the real, the real.
Real Talk.
All I'm offering is the truth, nothing more.
Dollhouse Radio, home of the indie artist, is back and ready to kick off another hot year. We air live 7 days a week with 17 of the hottest shows on the net, hosted by the sexiest host. Find out more about the Dollhouse Radio family by visiting our website at www.dollhouseradio.com. Find out the latest porn and entertainment news on our Hot Sugar blog daily on the Dollhouse Radio website. We are looking to showcase the best in indie music this year. Interested in getting your music in rotation or having your video featured on DollhouseRadio.com? Be sure to send your music submissions in to DollhouseRadioMusic@gmail.com. All submissions must contain a bio or one sheet, promotional photo, and your music in MP3 format. Businesses and promoters looking to advertise your brand or event on Dollhouse Radio? Email your inquiries to Head of Our Promotions at Brian, that's B-R-I-A-N, DollhouseRadio@gmail.com. Our Spotlight Artists of the Month are Alana Evans, Heroin, Carla Page, Dennis Good, Mila J, and Raphael. Cooking with Miss Brooks has a new name. It is now Sammy's Cocktail Hour, hosted by the sexiest chef in town, Sammy Brooks, airing live every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific Time. You can also catch Sammy on Thursday evenings, 7 p.m. Eastern and 4 p.m. Pacific Time on Webcamming with Sammy and Sage. For all you webcam lovers out there and ladies interested in getting involved in webcamming. Also, coming soon, look for former porn star legend Janet Jackme to join the cast of one of our shows. And you can also catch former porn star and the 2015 AVN Hall of Fame inductee, Alana Evans, as the new co-host of Benchwarmers Live, airing every Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern. No shows will be airing this Sunday due to the Super Bowl. Keep up with everything Dollhouse Radio by following us on Twitter at @Dollhouse_radio. And now, back to your program.
Number again is 646-595-4038. And we are off again for another week. Welcome back. Real Talk.
I do it like the Director.
Real Talk. I am the Director, in case you did not know that by now. If you didn't know that by now,
wow.
Yes, you just haven't been listening. And this is Real Talk, brought to you by Dollhouse Radio, Indy Morrell. Of course, give him a little applause there. And and brought to you live via Blog Talk Radio over the World Wide Web, the Internet. How's everybody doing? It's another Monday, a very slow, lazy type Monday for a lot of people. The snow falling down, it's coming down, it's coming down. And for a lot of people, I'm hoping there'll be people home and listening, because they ain't got nothing else better to do anyway. They might as well listen to some real talk as we talk about the 2015 SAG Awards. SAG, that's an acronym for those who do not know. It's the Screen Actors Guild Awards. So which took place yesterday. We're going to do a little recap of that. Then we'll also talk a little bit. One of our main topics for today will be, we have a couple of different shows that's been on urban television. Okay, let me start by saying urban television is something that I personally have not really been a big fan of, and I get criticized a lot. People talk about me all the time because they feel that, you know, selling out sometimes. I'm not trying to support black actors and black, you know, shows, urban shows. I've always supported urban shows. It's not that. It just has to be a good urban show. I mean, you know, gone are the days of the great urban shows that had substance and backbone and meat to it, you know, in my opinion. I mean, New York Undercover was one of the last that do that. I mean, of course, you had the Cosby Show and a different one, but those were sitcoms. Those were situational comedies. I'm not talking about comedies, all right? We're talking about, you know, and unfortunately, a lot of the shows, the urban shows, or if you want to call them that, or shows that were starring black stars and appealing to the black community, they're pretty much all comedies. That's usually what appeals to the black community, comedies. I mean, it goes back to Good Times and the Jeffersons and all of these different shows. Awesome shows, great classic shows, but, you know, Amen, 227, you know, all of these shows. But you never really had too many drama shows that appealed to the mass of black and urban audience. And then you had New York Undercover, a gentleman named Dick Wolf. You might know him by a little show called Law and Order. And he's got like a million of those. Dick Wolf decided to come and help co-create a show that's going to appeal to the masses. It's going to appeal to white people. It's going to appeal to black people and Hispanic. And they came up with New York Undercover. And New York Undercover was a hit. It was a straight hit. And the only problem was the network that it was on. Now, Fox, as we all know, Fox has been known, you know, more than vocal on several occasions or visual on several occasions that they don't really support those type of shows. But, you know, of lately, Fox is trying to turn over a new leaf, is what we're hearing. And so they signed on Lee Daniels, film director and producer Lee Daniels, along with film director and producer Danny Strong. And they said, let's make a show that's going to replace New York Undercover. That's what I believe. That's just my opinion. Fox probably looked back at the numbers and said, well, New York Undercover did really well. a lot of you black people, you enjoyed that show, didn't you? Got some good ratings the first couple of seasons. Then it got a little too urban, meaning you had the show from, you know, that at the end of the night, they go to Natalie's, and at Natalie's, you have another R&B person singing at Natalie's, and it was a nice rhythm and blues type of vibe. And I mean, New York Undercover was popping. It was a hit. I repeat, it was a hit. Okay? And Fox looked at it and said, I don't know, something about it is missing. Then they thought about it. They said, you know what's missing? Some more white people. They decided to sprinkle a little white people in. You know what? We got two major Latino characters. Let's kill one off. They decided to kill one off. And ironically, they pick the star, the co-star of the show, the second face of the show. They kill that gentleman off. I can't remember his name at the moment. They kill his character off. They leave Malik Yoba, who is the star of the show. They keep the Lauren Velez, who is the female Latina of the show. Then they said, let's throw in a couple more white people. Show goes downhill from there. Okay. I had to say all that just to set you up for the fact that what's to happen next. So now Fox is back with their, you know, I don't know how many years later, somewhere around 20 years later, Fox is back with their urban pacifier show. Something to pacify the urban crowd. It's called Empire. Now, Empire, everyone who's listening, for the reasons of that I'm comparing it against the other show, Power, Empire, we know, is produced and directed by Lee Daniels, Academy Award-winning producer Lee Daniels. He won from Monsters Ball. A lot of people don't know he produced that. And Danny Strong, Academy Award winner, Danny Strong, or Academy nominee, he directed Hustle and Flow, which did win an Academy Award somewhere, or it was nominated. I don't think it won. It only won with the soundtrack of the, I forgot what, the 3-6 Mafia. Yeah. Hard out here for a pimp. You know, it's hard out here for a pimp. And I'm going to, you know, before I finish my monologue here, I'm going to finish it up, but I'm going to bring in my Jedi Council chilling here on a nice frosty evening. Kev, are you in the building?
What's good? Good evening, folks.
What's good, Kev? The snow is going crazy, man. It is snowing like
I'm loving it. Sitting here watching, just finished watching Nightcrawler.
Ah,
needed a little refresher. I've been listening. I've been sitting here listening to your dialogue, man. You know we're on the same page as far as that.
Fox had to put something out. It's been about 20 years, so they had to put something out that's going to appeal to the urban society, urban crowd, black folks, if you will.
Here's my thing.
And, go ahead.
I want to know, the person I want to meet, I want to jump in a time machine, and I would love to meet the individual who came up with the word urban and just threw that out there like, okay, if it's black, if you're in New York about this whole thing, is that, now granted, like you said, with Cosby and, you know, with the Jeffersons, those are situational comedies, so they, you know, they tend to lean a little bit towards being funny. So you're going to get some realism, but at the same time, it's supposed to be funny. So, you know, you're going to have a little bit extra. I'm to a point where I'm kind of tired. We as black people, for the majority of us, are not ghetto. Even for those of us that live in projects from Red Hook to South Central, okay, there are a lot of us that carry ourselves, carry our children, and respectfully act in a regular, civilized manner. As the saying would go, for lack of a better phrase, we act white, just like everybody else does. Or we have a European way of carrying ourselves, I'll put it like that, just like everybody else. Why are these shows not being presented in such a manner? Now, granted, we do have things like CSI and all the other shows that, you know, that people of color are represented in that shows that. But where are the shows mm-hmm. for us that shows that? Why are we constantly leaning back? And this is the other thing that I hate. I don't like to call black comedy coonery. I think that's foul. I think it's disrespectful to call black comedy mm-hmm. coonery, to call ghetto-wise right. shows coonery, you know, because it's not coonery. It's something that exists. I mean, it's art imitating life. Obviously, it comes from somewhere, all right? It's not just mm-hmm. a fake stereotype, with the exception of black people love chicken and watermelon, because everybody from the South loves chicken and watermelon. So let's just clear that up, too,
right.
while we're at it.
Black, white, or any other color, yeah.
So why are these shows, now granted, like I said, like even we have State of Affairs where we have a black female president. They show us carrying ourselves in a civilized, diplomatic manner. The average family of color, whether it be black, Latino, Asian, whatever you want to call it, we carry ourselves in a way that's presentable to the public. When I talk to my colleagues at work and we discuss our kids, it's amazing how all of our stories are the same and all of our stories are similar, and the only thing that separates us is skin color, or I should say the thing that people allow to separate themselves is skin color. I don't allow that. And this is what I wish the film industry and the television industry, and it starts with the filmmaker. It starts with them first to go in with product that, look, this is what we are. And that's why I applaud Tyler Perry for some of the stuff that he does. Now, granted, some people might call it what they call it, but some of his more serious stuff portrays us in a manner, and granted, sometimes it is still a little bit to the left, and it shows that other side. Like I was saying to you earlier, we as people of color, we have two different ways of dealing with stuff. We have our normal life, which is with our slang and how we talk and how we carry ourselves, and then we have our professional manner. Some of us stay in that professional manner. Some of us go back and forth in between the two. Some of us, like myself, I was raised to talk proper English. And I was raised in a party house. Like, my parents drank, they had a good time. But you carried yourself in a professional manner, whether you were home or whether you were out in the street. And I'm tired of Hollywood trying to reinforce this thing that we are just this bottom-level subculture that's cute to look at. And you know what? I'm going to leave it alone. I'm just going to stop because we're here to talk about movies and not get into a whole political situation. But you feel what I'm saying.
I feel exactly what you're saying. And where I wanted to go from that is the fact that, you know, we have two shows that are out right now that the black community, you know, I have to say that, you know, are really buzzing about, you know, because I think because the culture is hungry for some drama that's, you know, geared towards geared towards them or having them in the forefront or whatever. Now, granted, Power, we know what Power is. It's a fictional show, but it's based on street stuff, drug dealers, you know, empire, you know, like The Wire, exactly. So, I mean, like, that was the last, that show was the one that everyone loved, that, you know, the last one that they really loved, you know. And but you know, with The Wire, you learn stuff from The Wire, though. You know,
but it was real. That's the thing.
Yeah,
that everything else was, it was.
It wasn't a glimpse into what white people think our world should look like.
Yeah, exactly.
And
exactly.
That's what I unfortunately feel when I sit down and watch an hour-long episode of Empire. I feel like Empire, in some parts, let me rewind for 2 seconds. I was always taught to, you should compliment someone before you put them down. So, is that way you can let them down easily. Start off with a compliment.
What? Listen.
So, listen, let me finish. So, I'm going to first list the good things about Empire. Okay. Pro number one for Empire. The cast. You know, the starring cast. Taraji P. Henson, Terrence Howard. They have amazing screen chemistry together. And the show, you know, so right out the gate, you got two good actors, two excellent actors, know what they're doing, got good chemistry with each other, know their way around the screen. Taraji has more television experience than Terrence Howard got it.
Yeah.
She knows how to, you know, and she played a really good role on Persons of Interest.
I was so mad when her character was killed off.
She played a really good role on Persons of Interest. So you got Taraji. So that's the one pro for Empire. Another pro is the people behind it. As far as Lee Daniels and Danny Strong, we know that they are Academy Award-winning and Academy-nominated producers, directors, and writers. So you got a strong, solid foundation. You also have, the experience behind all of this in Empire is one of the biggest pros that it has. You got Timbaland, you know, this is a production, you know, show, you know, it's a show about a record empire. So of course there's music in there. So of course you go and you draft Timbaland as the executive music producer.
Let me correct the show. You go and you draft the God.
An executive music producer, and he's doing his thing over there. So it came out like that. These are the things that this is what made me want to watch Empire, because of Taraji, because of Terrence and their chemistry together, and then because Lee Daniels is behind it. And Lee Daniels is a good filmmaker, a good writer, and not just because of his writing skills or anything like that. I mean, I never thought he was an over-the-top great writer or anything like that, or director for that matter. But Lee Daniels has clout, and he was able, as you can see, these first few episodes, Lee Daniels called in a lot of favors, man. Because you got Cuba Gooding Jr. popping up on Cuba Gooding Jr. Cuba Gooding Jr. is a movie star. You know what I'm saying?
Let's be honest about that, though. At this point in time right now, and I love Cuba Gooding Jr. This is no knock on him at all. But his status right now, as far as his popularity, he's a B actor right now, to a certain degree.
Right.
He's still A-list.
He's still an A-list actor, though. My point is, it wouldn't be, you know, now I don't know how long he's committed to the show, but the point is, I predicted in the first 4 to 5 episodes, you were going to see a lot of familiar faces, and they plan on getting a lot of cameos on the show. They plan on getting some people on the show. Yeah, this is what they want to do. They because he's using his clout right now to basically name drop and put people in there. But see, this is what now where it can work for them is because you're talking about you're stepping into the music industry, but it's a it's an imaginary music industry because they can't use real people. So all right, so but what I do like about it is they're kind of doing like what Entourage did. They're taking their made up characters and mixing them into the real world of music. You know what I'm saying? I think that's cool. I think they should do that. So you might see. I mean, trust me. I don't be surprised before long if you see Diddy or somebody pop up on the show, or any other rapper that may act or whatever pop up on the show. I don't know if they're gonna be themselves or if they're gonna play a character, but you're in that world. So Entourage, you should do that. You had this dude playing that actor, and you had the only guys who the actors and played that group of guys that rolled together, the Entourage. They were the only ones who were playing like characters. For the most part, everyone else you saw on there were themselves because they were, running around Hollywood and stuff. But neither here nor there, that's what they're trying to do. Now, I'm going to go to the cons. First of all, real big cons for me personally. Well, not personally. I don't take it personally, but I do look at it. One con I'm going to say is, when I look at this show, I feel like this world that they have here, and it's a world of the music industry, rich black folks, I feel like this is what this is the vision of white people think our world should look when we got some money. And the people in here are acting like this. this is how they imagine we would act. And I feel like sometimes if I gotta watch a show and cringe at certain parts what I mean by that is if I gotta feel embarrassed for my culture, for my race when I'm watching a show because these people are acting so over the top. And in my opinion, they don't have to. That's when I have a problem. Now, power, like we said, we'll get to that because it is Empire versus Power. I'm still on Empire. So Empire has a strong foundation. It has a all-star team behind it. And the overall storyline so far is intriguing. I do want to find out a little more, but I think that's from the acting. Now, what it is flooded with is we know it's supposed to be a lot of glitz and glamour and flair because this is the music industry and stuff like that. But some of the things that it does not have to have is I feel the reason why it is what I think white people think our world should look like is because it's filled. And when I say filled, people, I say filled. I mean filled with stereotypes from top to bottom. There is not one character in this show that's just normal. Just normal. everyone, and I understand it's drama. So you got to have drama, right? But it's just filled with stereotypes.
But see, that's the thing. And I want to kind of say something, too, about that, too. It's not just, quote-unquote, white America, white Europeans, or whoever that's just watching it. It's a global thing. The way we're portrayed impacts us globally. I'm talking about from Arab nations to Germany to Japan, especially like Japan and China, especially that embrace the hip-hop side of of our culture that we started, you know, and now it's a global phenomenon now, you know, so it's not just ours anymore. But that betrayal, you know, when somebody sees you, I thank God that nowadays it's not as bad as it used to be. You know, when somebody sees you, the first thing they thought is that you listen to, you know, you listen to rap music and you're just all hip hop and you don't know how to speak, you don't know how to, you know, da 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 whatever. That's my thing with all of this. I mean, it affects things. I'm just tired of it, man. Even just on a side note, I was watching an interview about 50 Cent where he went over to I believe it was Somalia he went to, and he donates his time and his money over there as far as food and feeding people. And he was saying, you know, how he wanted to take, like, this was another direction in his life that he wanted to go to. And throughout the whole piece, the commentary that was behind it just kept reiterating, he's an ex-crack dealer. He got shot 9 times.
Yeah.
They kept reiterating that thing. And it seems like...
Well, they're
now,
they're
going to
do that
It seems like...
They did that to Jay-Z.
Yeah, the same thing. The same exact thing. Yes, the same exact thing. And now then you have here power. Now, I could see if it was like I could see if it was like The Wire, where you're not even exposing. You're dramatizing and showing something for exactly what it is. Now, granted, Power may be showing, Empire may be showing the industry for exactly what it is, but all the extra cliches, it's almost like they're tying everything into these reality shows and the stuff that we're used to seeing. You know, what about some of the realness behind all of this? There are people in the industry who don't carry themselves that way. When are we going to start seeing
there
that?
There are not. Not everyone. Right, exactly. Not everyone is like that. We're going to take a call real quick and see what the caller has on their mind. We got from 516 area code 519. Caller, you're on the line with Real Talk.
What's up, brothers? It's Heaven Hollywood.
Down What's going on, man? How's it going?
Going on, man.
Yeah, my man.
Jedi Council.
Yeah, man. We're sitting here and, you know, we're talking. First of all, welcome to the show, Heaven Hollywood. Of course, from the Heaven Hollywood Digital Experience on Dollhouse Radio, of course. And kind of like the big brother of all the shows here, and. You know, he's one of the rock stars of Dollhouse Radio. So, you know, we've been talking about, you know, I was kind of breaking it down. I wanted to take my time and break down Empire versus Power instead of just going out there asking people Empire versus Power. But I'm trying to get people who may not have fully got up on either show yet, so I don't just jump into it and say about the characters and stuff like that.
Right.
So I'm trying to let them explain, you know. So, with that being said, I saw you jumped on and, you know, we were talking about the cliches that, what I was saying, Kevin said cliches, that was his thing. And what I said about the show is the stereotypes, the classic stereotypes that are portrayed, to me, feels like Lee Daniels got in there with an idea. And then Fox said, we love you, man. We love your idea. You're bringing this to the black folks. But, you know, we want to make a few changes. You know, it's not black enough. Or, it's you know, like they know what black enough is. But I'm just saying, it's not black enough. It's just like in Hollywood Shuffle. Remember that movie Hollywood Shuffle when he was, you know, you had these white people directing him as this pimp. And he's like, you know what? We need a little more black, you know, shake your ass and bulge your eyes and just, you know what I'm saying? That was their interpretation of what a black pimp should look like. So, what's your opinion on the fact that the stereotypes that they bring to the table, whereas, you know, the only educated black man on the show is married to the white woman. And he's not just married to the white woman. Because that's America today, white women and black men and black men and black women, all that stuff, great interracial. But the stereotype comes where he's not just married to the white woman, she's the puppet master. She pulls all his strings. He can't think for himself. He's bipolar. So she has to take medication. And she's the one who's running the whole operation. Now this man runs this whole company with his father and brother, his woman. So that was one stereotype I want you to speak on. And then the other stereotype is emasculated black man has to be put out there on blast. And, you know, I don't think that's a Fox thing. I think that was a Lee Daniels thing. Because Lee Daniels is, I'm sure anyone who follows Lee Daniels should know Lee Daniels is gay. So therefore, I believe that gay character was a Lee Daniels thing. And, I don't have a problem with gay characters. Hey, I'm a Gleek, for crying out loud. I watch Glee. And as we know, one of the stars of that show is a gay character. So, but what I have a problem with is going out of your way to throw this stuff in your face, the gay stuff in your face, as well as the fact, like I said, once again, cliche, the most talented black man on the show is gay. What do you think about that?
Well, first and foremost, you guys are doing a great job.
Thanks.
Kevin made a very good point before I got on. You guys are dead on the cliche and the stereotype. I just want to touch on a couple of things. Number one, you have to remember, Empire is probably on the most known racist network that there is, the first thing. Which is on Fox, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Fox is a known racist network. Okay. So the thing about the puppeteer type thing, that was strategized. That they're sending you messages, with the white wife being the brains, really being the brains of the operation. So, as to say, a black person could never run that. There has to be some sort of catch to him being able to run this successful organization. Oh, of course, he has a white person. He has a white woman married to. The thing about the homosexuality, well, you know what? That's what they're shoving down our throats in hip-hop, in music. So I kind of agree that it may have been a Lee Daniels thing, but I believe Fox was on board with it as well because they see that that is what we're listening to. That is how urban America is dressing, that, and this whole homosexuality thing right now is at a huge, it's huge. I mean, you see it in sports. You see it in hip-hop. You see, so they made sure, and that's the reason why. And if I want to just trickle over to one of my favorite shows, Hit the Floor. Hit the Floor was doing good the first season, but then when the second season came around, they threw a white dude in the cast, and now he's gay. Now their ratings shot up even more than the first season. So they had to say, they had to pull a, there's just too many blacks in this show. Let's throw a white guy, let's make one of the main characters a white dude. And even though he's, he's a type kind of like a white guy that black women would be attracted to, they turn him into the gay character. So, I kind of think that was strategized by both, agreed upon, and that's the reason why I believe, along with the notion of there's more, just more known faces in Empire. I mean, Power. Yeah. Power to me is, a show wherein it's coming up on another season. It's, you would probably have to it would probably have to be a show that you watch and until the second season, and then now, you know, you're hoping that you can it'll grasp you and carry you. Empire did the right number one. They got known faces. That's they're already ahead. They're already miles ahead of Empire, because the only face you were sitting around power waiting for to see is 50 Cent. I mean, when it first started. Yeah, people know Notori a little bit. You know, people may have seen this dude, the lead.
Amari.
They may have saw him, but you see Terrence Howard, you see, you know, you got Grammy-nominated actors on this show. No, on top of that, I think the plot was better. You know, I think where they did the plot was better. I think because of the stars, the cameo appearances. if you look at it, they're kind of like taken from New York Undercover. You know, they're kind of using that formula. You know what I'm saying? That made New York Undercover huge. That the fact that every week you tuned in, you can see a face that you knew, other than the two. Because remember, when they first started, Malik Yoba wasn't a real known face. No one really knew Malik Yoba. But because of you could see a face every week, whether it was a performer at the end of the show that you knew, or Ice-T, or Mekhi Phifer, you know, Chris Webber one time was on there. It was always a face to pop out of nowhere that you could see. Power doesn't have that. To me, you know what I mean, Power. Other than 50, you know, you just constantly keep seeing faces that you don't know. You know, see, everybody that pops up, and that makes it harder to grasp an audience. To me, you know what I mean, and like I said, I stuck with Power only because I knew it was 50's show. But if I had treated Power the way I treat all the other shows, I would have been done after the second episode, because it took. It took a few episodes for me to really even get interested in the show.
Power had a very old school style of storytelling, and it took a little while to really build up the point.
And Kevin, I don't know if you agree with this or not, but you're sold, because you've seen him before. You're sold on Terrence Howard the moment you see him. You know, because of, you know, his acting. It took me a while, and I really don't even, maybe you can answer this question. I don't know, after one season, I still don't know if I'm sold on Amari Hartwick, this character. I mean, this character just doesn't, I'm just not buying it. Like, and after one full season, that's not good.
I don't know if you feel the same way as
when you're watching both those shows, you know, you buy Terrence Howard the moment the show comes on. Do you feel the same way when you're watching Power? Do you buy Amari Hartwick?
Well, the reason why you buy Terrence Howard, if it wasn't for the fact of Hustle and Flow, you wouldn't even be able to buy into his character. They played off of that. Just the simple fact that they used him is the reason why people are so related to that. I mean, and especially with this time slot, I mean, you're still dealing with a national time slot. So just that alone is what puts him on deck. You automatically relate to that character because of his previous character. So it's an easy transition.
Yeah, but I think to add to that, though, is what he means is Terrence Howard really looks the part, too. Like, he fits into that role, just because of him playing a rapper in a previous role. You know, he looks good. He's got them clean suits on. Like, he fits in that world. You know what I mean? Like, and he's got that slang, but he can still sit in a meeting and talk civilized. You know what I mean? He's sitting in a meeting. And the funny thing is, like, you know, there's so many parts in the show where he's in a meeting trying to speak civilized to, you know, different people, white people and things of that nature, and then his ghetto wife comes in and you know, kind of throws salt on the game, which that's funny, you know what I mean? That's the whole point. That's her character. She's spent the last 18 years in prison But when I think as compared to Amari Hardwick on Power, I have to say, you know, my first response would say, no, I don't really buy his character as being this drug kingpin when he's so quick to make these terrible decisions that he's made based on nothing but a girl. Now, granted, men do dumb stuff like that. That's
right.
True. They make bad decisions based on women. And every guy on Power, now every guy, and when I say every guy, except for 50 Cent's character, every guy on Power
make moves
has made
because
a
of women.
Decision because of a woman. And, I mean, dumb, like, groundbreaking, crippling your empire moves, you know?
And that's usually not done with men of power. Mostly every man of power. You hardly see any man of power. You can go down to soap operas, to movies. They're all womanizers. That's the last thing that they let get in the way.
There's usually that one that comes along that messes up
the
game, but then they get back on point.
That messes them up. Then they'll get thrown off, then they'll get back on point. So I agree to on that. I think that the show is Empire versus Power. So if I have to
I'm voting for Empire. I'm going to end it like that. I'm going to place my vote for Empire. I think it's going to have longer. I think it's going to be on longer. I think they'll have
what's your season count, Hez? How many seasons do you think they're going to pull through before they get cut?
What do you mean, on Power or on Empire?
Yeah, on Empire.
I'm going to tell you, if they play this formula out for a little while, and because people are, they haven't yet to hit that point where what happened with, with Scandal. Scandal, remember, people didn't buy Scandal right away, but as the plunge went on, as the weeks went on, people really bought into it. I think if they follow this formula and, of course, continue with the homosexuality thing, unfortunately, the the feminizing black men thing, which unfortunately is popular. I mean, as I go back to saying, you know, you got black people, black men more than white men calling every successful black man gay. You never hear white people or white men, you know, being called like white successful men. You never, this is what's going on today. You never hear Justin Timberlake's gay or Robin Thicke is gay or Justin Bieber's gay. But every single successful black man on a black blog or on a black radio show, I've heard some gay rumor or something that the media or somebody has said is gay. All you have to do is start at the top and go down every single black entertainer that is successful. There has been a gay rumor about them. And most of the time, it starts by black people. I mean, so, what's the name that's playing on that? Fox is just playing on it.
Yep.
I mean,
yeah.
That's the same way with the black on black crime, with the black people calling each other the N-word. They're playing on it. They're saying, hey, you're calling every single black successful man gay anyway. You know what I'm saying? They're going to buy this. That's the reason why I think that. On top of that, very important, the star power. So I couple the star power with the New York undercover formula, with Fox, the racist, and know how to, you know, to capitalize on coonery. I'm going to give them 4 seasons. I'm going to give them 4 seasons. Capitalize on coonery.
Capitalize on coonery.
That is the tagline of the day.
That's the tagline of the day. Hashtag capitalize on coonery.
Yep. Mona Scott Young's doing it. Fozzie's doing it. Mona Scott, what's her name? Mona Scott Young does it.
Mona Scott Young does it.
She capitalized on coonery.
Shonda Rhimes does it.
Right.
Now how does Shonda Rhimes does it?
Well, she more so not on the let me retract that. Not on the coonery, but on the nonsense, I'll say. And we'll go.
Okay.
Well, I'll explain that later. Let's stay on Empire for right now.
Yes. So that's my thing. And matter of fact, Kev, I might even go because I'm going to give. What I said, 4 seasons.
Yeah, you said 4.
I may even give them another.
Really? And what about Empire?
I'm giving Empire three seasons and done with.
They've already got their second season renewed already.
I think they're doing one more after that. Because I think once 50 Cent gets into it every week.
And, you talking about Power?
Yeah, Power. I think Power, like, I'm giving Power 3 seasons. I'm giving Empire 5 seasons.
5.
Yep.
I'm gonna go 4 with Empire.
I'm going. You know, I would say I'm gonna go high end. I definitely at least 4. Possibility for 5, but I think Power is going 3 seasons only because you know what now can happen. Like they put a little too. They didn't build. Power didn't spend enough time building. This character, building this story. They're already about to, their empire's about to go down already. It's only been one season.
Yeah.
The empire's not up in flames. 50 Cent comes back, you know, takes over their little, well, then what happened to this guy? She's already found, she's not supposed to find out he's cheating in the first season. And you got to let that rock a little bit. Like, you have to show, you know, his dirt. Like, he does his dirt or, show some sort of evilness. None of these dudes come across to me as evil. Oh, don't mess with him.
You know why?
Because the drug dealers on the street than these two dudes.
Yeah.
You know why? It's because it's like you said. It's because they did not take time to build the characters up. They didn't give you a time to adjust to the characters, to get to know them, to get a feel for them. They just basically pushed it along and rushed it. Now, I haven't seen Power at all, and I'm just going by off of everything that we've been talking about on the show and that I've been hearing from other people.
You have to sit down and look, and then you'll agree with me. You said, like I said, it took me a while, and the only reason I stayed with it is because you know me. I'm just so hard up for real shows to come back on TV. So I said, hey, you know, here's a scripted show, and 50's behind it, so... You know, but like I said, if it wasn't for the fact that it was 50's show, and I like 50, and I went so hard up for scripted shows, and, you know, after the second week, I probably would have got off of it. You know what I mean? Because it took about four episodes to really get exciting to me because, you know, as the director brought up, you got to do with all these dudes are making all these stupid mistakes, stupid decisions, you know, based on a woman, and then you got people, you know, you got this guy's driver who's supposed to be loyal to him because his wife is flirting with him. He's giving this guy up. This is going to be your guy. This is who feeds you. I mean, and because he didn't even get anything from. I don't think he's even kissed the wife, but the wife is back there.
She was just the wife is back there
taking her clothes off in the back seat and flirting with some. This guy is giving up his boss. You know what I mean? So just a lot of that stuff just doesn't make sense. And like you said, it's based on building the characters, But I'm going to get off here, and my vote is for Empire. I'm going to say they get at least 4 seasons, possibly 5, and I think Power's done after 3. And good job, guys.
All right. Thanks again for calling. Good job there, having Hollywood experience. Who comes on? Well, he's all over the place, man. He hosts the Having Hollywood Experience, which comes on Mondays at 7 o'clock to 9, and then he's got Hot Sugar. He does on Saturdays with India Morel, and then the girls over there. That's done usually Saturday nights, I believe at midnight. He has the sports show that comes on every. It's 6 o'clock, 7:30. That's the Sports Lives and Videotape show with him and Jimmy Ace. And, boy, he's all over the place. He's all over Dollhouse Radio. So we thank him for that call and that insight. I really think, and, you know, we'll wrap this topic up and go into some SAG Awards recap. But I just want to say, once again, to clarify what I think Empire will also go, I think it'll go about 4. I think it'll go 4 seasons because they already got 2, so you got to give them at least 2 more. But if it goes 5, the 5th season will be crappy or it'll be short and it won't be that good. Because I think if it goes 5 seasons, by that time Fox will be done. Changed it up, messed it up, just like they did to New York on the Cup. Yeah, I think that's what they are. I'm really jaded by Fox with New York on the Cup.
Yeah. Well, I do. My final take on it is the only thing I do want to say is, because I haven't seen it, so I can't really speak on the insemination of the black man. But
right.
What I don't like, and once again, anybody who knows me, I am of 100% free speech. Do what you want, do how you want it. You know, not jam it down anybody's throat. You know, you don't need to jam it down anybody's throat for anybody to you know, accept and respect you. All of these shows, you know, from Power. So like we were talking about earlier with this new character for The Walking Dead, we don't know where he's going to be or she's going to be. But I don't like the fact that, and, you know, some people might agree with me, some people may not. I don't like the fact that Hollywood is capitalizing on the homosexual and transgender community. I think to me, in a sense, it's kind of wrong. I understand it's still art imitating life, like with Transcendence and all the other shows that are out there. But it's kind of sort of seeming like the formula is, hey, our ratings are slipping. Let's throw in a gay guy or a gay girl, or let's have 2 girls kissing.
Yeah.
Let's pump this up to make it more than what it is. And you know, it's kind of wrong. To me, in a degree, you're playing out, I almost want to say a race of people, or you're playing out people's lives. You're playing them. You know, you're using it to forward your agenda. At the same time, you're trying to say like, hey, we stand behind the lesbian gay community, but we're going to make that. We're going to make them bucks off of you too. And it's the same thing that goes back to, you know, that goes back to African American communities and to all others. The bottom line is what they need to do is it just at some point, and it's got to happen. It's probably going to be, I'm probably going to be dead and gone when it happens. But there's got to come a point in time with television across the board that, like, these racial lines across everything just need to be zeroed out, period. I mean, it would make for better film. It would make for more filming opportunities. And it would open up the doors to more creativity. I mean, it's just a shame that Hollywood. And I believe this is the reason why Hollywood is stuck in such a box. And the only thing they can do is just keep going back and rehashing the same thing over and over again, is because they're not willing to accept new ideas and they're not willing to be open to new things.
Yeah, That's the truth. They're really not. They're out of ideas completely. They are done. They are completely out of ideas.
And so, only except new ones. That's what cracks me up.
They don't have no new. I mean, you know, it's what it is. But like I said, Riel, to wrap up that particular topic, you know, both shows have potential to be, but they're nothing like what we had, man. You know, like Empire. I'm only comparing it to New York Undercover because they both was on Fox. I don't think it has the freshness that New York Undercover had, so I don't think it's going to carry an audience as long as New York Undercover did. That's my opinion. But it does have head of steam. They have a good team behind them. And as long as Lee Daniels and stuff stays hands-on, which I think he plans on doing that, because he seems to be making the character, the gay character, he seems to be making him the focal point of all of the misery and all of, you know, I guess maybe they're going to the bullying and stuff like that. So I think he's going to stay hands-on. He better, because the biggest mistake that happened to New York Undercover is when Dick Wolf, who created it, started going hands-off, and then they changed it up. So, and with Power, you know, Power, it ain't The Wire. So everybody who hasn't seen it, it ain't The Wire, trust me. It's a pretty good show, you know, so far. It's okay. I'm not rushed to the TV to see neither one of them. You know what I mean? But we're gonna go and keep a lookout on both of them, because now at least we do have two shows out there, and let's see where they go with them. And you know, Empire, I'll continue to watch it, but like I said, I can't continue to watch it if I'm gonna be feeling embarrassed. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to be able to, if I sit down with Empire, and I have a lot of white friends, I can't watch a show that I can sit down with my white friends and feel embarrassed watching it. I'm sorry. I can't do that. And if I feel that way, I'm going to jump off board. So 646-595-4038. Anybody wants to make a comment, want to, you know, tell me I'm wrong, tell me I'm out of my mind, tell me I'm a sellout, whatever you want to say, call me up. 646-595-4038. And we're here. Let's talk about, as you know, we wind down, let's talk about the recap of the 2015 Screen Actors Guild Awards. Now, with that being in mind, you know, a lot of people complaining about the Oscars because there were no black actors being nominated this year for the Oscars. On the contrary, for the Screen Actors Guild, and in my opinion, it's not the biggest credibility-wise, but it should be one of the more important, one of the most important awards to an actor, because it is by the actors. So that means your peers respect you, and they respect your performance. So you have... We had taken home a couple of trophies. Orange is the New Black, you know, Uza Aduba, who she took home. She plays Crazy Eyes. Yeah, she took home two. One for outstanding performance by a female actor in a comedy series. And I think the other one was just for Orange is the New Black. So I don't know if she was holding both of them in one picture that we had there. But we want to say congratulations to Uza Aduba. And she is, I tell you right now, that girl can act, man. And you could tell by that character that she plays. Before I, you know, when I first started watching Orange is the New Black, it took me, even with that, I had to watch about three episodes in, then I started getting hooked. I first episode didn't catch me, you know, second episode was okay. By the time I was three episodes in, I was then on board. Her character had me from the beginning, the character she played. So she's an awesome character. And then, of course, so here you got her, not only a, obviously, black female actress in a lead, she, you know, a black female actress performance, but she's also on a network that's not even a network. You know what I'm saying? We're talking about Netflix. That's a network that's not even a network. And she's winning, you know, these actor awards. So also on a network that's not a network, outstanding performance by a male in a drama series, Kevin Spacey, House of Cards, once again. You know, and then we jump back to the black women leading and catching these awards. I guess they're making up for the fact that they didn't get to the Oscars. Viola Davis won for How to Get Away with Murder for outstanding lead, performance in a, for a female in a drama series. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. This year, the black actors, like the black female actors and even male actors, they've been killing it in TV. They haven't really been killing it in film this year. That's why there's none nominated for an Oscar. It's been a TV thing this year. You got Alice, you know, you got Orange is the New Black. You got How to Get Away with Murder. You got House of Lies. You know what I'm saying? Like, these are shows where the black actors, they're killing it, but they're just killing it on TV right now. I couldn't think of a film right off the top of my head other than Selma that I'm going to make a case for any black performer should be nominated for an Oscar. I'm sorry. People can get mad if they want. It's the truth.
There weren't any. I mean, it goes across the board. It goes across the board.
Anthony Mackie for the Hawk, what's his name? In Avengers. Who are you gonna nominate? You know?
Yeah, it's nobody out there. And I mean, it's not just black actors either. I mean, there are Latino actors out there and actresses that haven't been nominated. I mean, come on. I mean, I'm so it just pisses me off.
I know you're tired of how they do that, and that is just people to me. Sometimes our people, black people, sometimes look to complain about stuff. This is not.
That's
one thing I don't
complain.
Like you said. I know. But what I don't want people to do, this is my world, man. I look at it like there's no color line, even though people, there are color lines in there, but to me, it's not. This is the world of creativity. This is the world of film and performance. And I'm just saying, there was no worthy performance, in my opinion, that I can think of. If you want to, and I'm going to be honest with you, I told you I was going to say this on the air, Kev, and I know people might get on me about it. I was not crazy about David Oyelowo's performance as Dr. Martin Luther King. I didn't hate it, but I did not, you know, I prefer Paul Winfield from the old King movie. Back in, what was that, 79 or something like that? 70-something.
Whatever it was.
Yes. Paul Winfield, who played King. Now, like I said, David Oyelowo is a good actor. I've seen him in some good films. But to play Martin Luther King, in my opinion, he was just okay. And I don't even think he deserved to get nominated. Not him. Maybe the movie. Because the movie was good. You know, the storyline was good. And, you know, and that's one thing Anthony Mackie said, too, speaking to him, and people got mad at him. Especially with the last few years. I mean, you can't really put Selma in there because Selma's a civil rights movie, but, you know, a lot of people are getting, right now, starting to get worn down by the, you know, the black slavery movies and this, that, you know, not really civil rights movies, but, you know, more or so like that. So, you know, once again, you got to go through this again. Now you got to sit through Selma and watch the, you know, these people go through what they were going through. And I think that's a good thing because of everything that's been going on today with Ferguson and all that other stuff. I thought Selma was refreshing to watch and show people how it's really done. You know what I'm saying? When it comes to protesting, peaceful protests and all that. And they even showed a scene in where it was Malcolm's last days. Because if everyone knows, Malcolm X, in his last days before he was assassinated, you know, he had started to try to see eye to eye with Dr. King on some levels. Whereas him and Dr. King never saw eye to eye through the years. He even called Dr. King like a coon, you know what I mean, or Uncle Tom,
yeah.
You know. And they didn't see eye to eye. But that was militant Malcolm, not peaceful Malcolm, you know what I mean? That was militant Malcolm who was under the influence of the Elijah Muhammad. But after he, you know, found out everything with Elijah Muhammad, broke off and on his own and, you know, went to Mecca and all that other stuff and came back, then now he was a different Malcolm. And he wanted to just promote peace and you know, obviously for blacks. And they had that scene where he never met with Martin Luther King. He met with Coretta. And because at the time, at least according to the film, Martin Luther King was still in jail in Selma, you know. And, you know, so he came and he spoke at the church and everything. And that was like right before Malcolm X got assassinated. So I thought that was cool that they threw that part in. I think the movie Selma itself deserved to be nominated as one of the best movies. That's cool. And since we're on that note, Kev, we'll take this opportunity to announce to our listeners that we might as well start with Selma, right? Announce with our listeners that from this point, we're going to be doing our Road to the Oscars movie. So every Monday that we do, we're going to cover, you know, whatever else we're doing is fine for the show, but we're going to highlight one Oscar movie from now until the Oscars. That one movie that's been nominated for Best Picture. So Selma is one of them. So we're talking about it. But, you know, the next week we'll do a different one. And as the weeks go on, leading up to the Oscars, we're going to focus on that particular movie for, you know, a short period of time of the show and give our predictions on who do we think is going to win Best Picture at the Oscars. Now, Birdman just won Best Picture. Birdman had won Best Picture for, not Best Picture, won for Best Cast in a Motion Picture.
Cast Ensemble.
Best Cast Ensemble in a Motion Picture. That was the SAG Award. And I believe Mr. Johnny Come Lately, Mr. Ralph on the Line.
Hey, everybody.
Hey.
What's going on? Sorry,
what's
I'm calling.
What's up, bro?
I'm dropping.
No problem, man.
I'm at
Thank
you very much. Thank you very much.
PST.
Right, it's been a long day, and right now I'm driving down the South 15 in Las Vegas. Viva Las Vegas.
Viva Las Vegas. That's what's up. Yeah, man, so I was in the middle of announcing. I just wanted to make sure, you know, what you want. You know, from this point on, we're going, you know, every Monday, you know, we'll do a certain part of segment of the show where we will highlight one of the nominated for Best Picture films, you know, Oscar films. So we're going to, you know, like we've been talking about Selma and then maybe next week we'll talk about, you know, American Sniper, you know, and highlight each film and tell who. And then after we highlight the film, we're going to let them know who do we think should take it home the Oscar, which film
okay.
we think should take home the Oscar. You know, so that way we have enough time to really put some focus on each of these films. And the six films, you know, just to run them down. Kev, do you have those in front of you, the six films that are nominated for Best
Yes, I do.
Best Film for
the Oscars? For the 2014 Oscars, we have the Best Picture, American Sniper.
Okay, go ahead.
Which was directed by Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
We have Birdman, The Unexpected Virtue of Ignorance. We have Boyhood, Grand Budapest Hotel, The Imitation Game, Selma, The Theory of Everything, and Whiplash. Those are your six nominees for the 2014 Oscars.
Well, 2014/15,
whatever. It's
really for the year of 2014. Yeah, it all went down in the year of 2014, but it's 15 Oscars. Okay, yeah. So like you said, it's American Sniper, Boyhood, Birdman, The Grand Budapest Hotel, and The Imitation Game, Selma, The Theory of Everything, and Whiplash. So we're going to... we're going to highlight these films on our way to the Oscars, meaning on the road to the Oscars, each film. And I can't wait to next week. We will get on. We'll start with American Sniper. It is such a excellent film.
It's such a good film. You know, such a good film.
Yeah, I'm gonna check it out. I'm gonna go to the IMAX theater around here. I'm gonna go check it out.
You can't listen, Ralph. You haven't seen American Sniper yet.
Came out when it.
Oh, we lost you, Ralph.
Did we lose him?
Yeah, I think we lost him.
He's driving down the highway. He's probably heading to California. So, California, here I come, man. Yeah, it looks like we lost him. So he'll call back in, but. I'm sure he'll catch you while he's out there. Yeah, American Sniper, I can't say more about it, man. It's just such a great film. So let's finish up let's run down the list of winners real quick that we have listed here of the SAG Awards. So winning Outstanding Performance of Cast in a Motion Picture, as we said, Birdman. Well-deserved, good cast. They did really good in the film. Outstanding Performance by a Female Actor in a Leading Role, Julianne Moore for Still Alice. Now, I have not seen this film yet. I plan on watching it over the snowy holiday that we have here, the snow day. And so we'll check that out. Outstanding Performance by a Male Actor in a Leading Role, Eddie Redmayne for The Theory of Everything. Now, I agree with you, Kevin. You believe that this is his defining moment. He will not get the Oscar for this role.
He will not.
Because we all believe probably that it will go to Bradley Cooper. But
I have a feeling that it's going to be an upset.
Yeah,
it's going to be an
upset.
Yeah, I think it might be an upset, yeah.
It's a possibility. So now, Outstanding Performer by a Female Actor in a Supporting Role, Patricia Arquette for Boyhood. Then we got Outstanding Performance by a Male in a Supporting Role, J.K. Simmons, Whiplash.
Yeah, I'm happy for that. I'm really happy for that. That dude is awesome.
I like him. Outstanding Performance for Female Actor in a Television Movie or Miniseries, Frances McDormand. And that's for Olive Kittredge. I didn't even see that given out. And I didn't see that award given out. Outstanding Performance by Male Actor in Television, Movie, or Miniseries, Mark Ruffalo, The Normal Heart. Now, Mark Ruffalo, man, he's really come on as an actor, man. He already thought he was a good actor, but he's really come on and got his picked roles up. So good for him. We got Outstanding Performance by an Ensemble in a Drama Series, Downton Abbey.
Downtown Abbey.
Downton Abbey. but it's Downton Abbey. That's the way
it's the way every you know what's funny
I mean,
about
it's
that?
Spelled D-O-W-N-T-O-N. Downton.
Yeah, and that's it's Downton, but the way everybody pronounces it is Downtown Abbey. If you listen to people when they say it, everybody says everybody says Downtown Abbey instead of Downton.
But that's not it. It's Downton Abbey. So I've never got a chance to watch that show. Does that come on? I think that's on HBO, is it not?
No, it's on the BBC.
BBC, okay.
Yeah,
and
it comes
then,
on the BBC. It's actually I watched one season of it. It's actually really good. It is really. If you're looking for drama, like classic drama, Downton Abbey is it. Period. Hands down.
Wow. Now, so continuing down the line, so we got we talked about this outstanding performer, male actor, in a drama series, Kevin Spacey, House of Cards. Then we got performance by an ensemble in a comedy series is Orange is the New Black. Awesome, awesome show. Everybody, if you do not know that show, please, if you have Netflix, log on to your Netflix and look up the show. You will get hooked on it. It's called Orange is the New Black, and it's an awesome show, and it's cleaning up awards now. And also right behind that, Uzu Aduba, who is from that show, won Best Actress and a Female Actor in a Comedy Series. I like this. I don't like to say Best Actress because that's not how they approach it in the Screen Actors Guild. It's Best Female Actor in a Comedy Series. So understanding, and then we have Outstanding Performance for Male Actor in a Comedy Series, William H. Macy, Shameless. You know, that's a good show. It's a solid show. William H. Macy is a solid, solid actor. Then we got the last two awards was Outstanding Performance by a Stunt Ensemble in a Motion Picture, and that was Unbroken. So they must have had some crazy stunts up in there, which is interesting. And then we got Outstanding Performance by a Stunt Ensemble in a Comedy or Drama Series, Game of Thrones.
Oh, you forgot to do Outstanding Performance by a Female Actor also.
Did I?
Yeah.
Female actor for what? Drama?
In a drama series. Or did you do it?
Oh, yeah, that's Viola. Viola Davis.
Okay.
Viola
you know
Davis
what?
Had to Get Away with Murder.
Yeah, that was bittersweet for me. Because I really would have liked for Tatiana Maisonlade to win from Orphan Black.
Oh,
I don't know
okay.
I don't know if you watched it. He said that
Orphan
like,
Black.
Okay.
I know the show. I just don't know the actress, really. I don't have a problem with Viola doing it. Because Viola Davis, you know, she stepped in and did that role really cool. And, you know, I think she really... that role is good for her, you know. Once again, I never jump the gun on anything and go crazy over these shows. I thought that was an excellent first show for that particular, you know, that show, How to Get Away with Murder. The first show for that had me open. I ain't gonna lie. I was like, yo, this is good. You know, second show, I was like, yeah, it's still pretty good. By the third show, I was, you know, I don't know. It lost me a little bit. I was like, yeah.
I didn't get lost. I actually started it backwards. I accidentally watched like episode 7 or something like that and was like, okay. And then I binged on it and just went because I literally missed the whole season. I don't know whether it was showing on a Saturday. I don't know whether I accidentally taped it. I don't know how I ended up watching it. But somehow I ended up watching episode 7. And I was just like, okay, I messed up. I need to go back to the beginning. And was the performances all around was just phenomenal. It was awesome. I love the show. I love it. The sad part about it is it's only going to last 3 seasons. There's not too much you could do because of how they went about it. It's not too much further unless they start with a different class every season. That's the only way that's going to, or for every 2 seasons, they start with a new class of students. That's the only way that I can actually really see this going somewhere. Outside
keep
of
going,
that,
yeah.
Three seasons and done it, but it's going to be a very enjoyable three seasons. I will say that. It's definitely three seasons that are rewatchable, in my opinion.
Wow. Well, we'll see. I'm gonna jump back on it and check out what I've missed and go from there. You know, I don't know what it is. I mean, I definitely enjoyed the first couple of episodes, and it's not that I didn't enjoy this third one. I don't know. I started getting a little tired. You know, it kind of tired me out a little bit because they're all over the place with the storytelling. And I'm
If you can't focus on something like that, there was another show that was like, you know, how all over the place. It was still a good show. Was that a movie? I can't remember what it was, but it was the same concept. It was just like it moved really fast. So if you didn't stick with it, you know, you kind of get like, okay, I can't. You're moving too much for me. You know, it was like.
Yeah, that's what it was. I started getting a little, you know, seasick, if you will.
Yeah, it was like watching Face Off for the first time. Face Off had so much action in it the first time. I had to sit down again. Like, wait, what did I just watch? Because yo, you didn't catch up until almost the end because it was just moving so fast.
Yeah, right. You were in the middle of a John Woo film.
Basically.
Yeah, but that's how I feel about How to Get Away with Murder. But yeah, I'm gonna jump back on it and see where it goes from here. You know, we'll see. I'll do from there. So like I said, coming up, you have and we got the Oscar thing coming up later in this rest of this month. We're going to have some more surprise guests calling up. I did want to touch on Sundance, but there was really nothing going on too much at Sundance this week. Sundance Film Festival is going on this week. It actually started last week, actually. And I believe
it should start last Thursday or something like that.
Yeah, it started, I believe, last Thursday. And it might have just wrapped up around now, but it didn't usually go too much more than that.
It usually
wrapped
on Sunday. They probably wrapped yesterday.
Yeah, they probably did.
It's usually from Wednesday to Sunday.
Yes. Oh, okay. That's true. Oh, Michael De La Riz. That's funny. I've been thinking about that name all day. Remember, I couldn't remember the name of the Latino character. New York Undercover, but his real name is Michael De La Riz. So,
okay.
So that's what's up. Yeah. So anyhow, that's pretty much our show for this week, and we'll be back next week with some more Oscar talk and some more other stuff. We're gonna be focusing on American Sniper as far as our Oscar movie of the day. And I'm sure we'll have more exciting topics to talk about by next week. But everybody out there, go check out Empire. It's on Fox on Wednesday nights. And Power returns for its second season this summer. So everybody get up on that. Go. If not, you can go check out the repeats on Stars. That's on the Stars Network. I don't know if it's on Netflix. Anyhow, Kev, good job.
Sir.
Another good job. And for everybody out there, we will see you. Thanks to all the callers, Heaven Hollywood, everybody who called up who didn't want to talk. We thank you for calling anyway. And thanks to Dollhouse Radio. Thanks to Blog Talk Radio. Thanks to the listeners. Thanks, Ralph, for having so much fun out there while we're stuck in here.
And
once again, we want to thank Dollhouse Radio and Cynthia Morrell. And my name is the director, and for the Jedi Council, we're signing off. You can love us, you can hate us, but don't ever forget about us. Good night.
Peace.
look my way.